rainy day in parts of the province. And like I always do, I see that we get a blanket of rain over part of the province. I quickly go to Swift Current and Maple Creek and Shaunavon to see what's going on there, because that part of the province inevitably is neglected by moisture. And this weekend, it looks to be the same. Not a lot of rain expected in the southwest part of the province, southeast, and that corridor straight up, which includes Saskatoon and essentially the east side of the province, is where most of the rain will fall. So if you've got long weekend plans, it may impact them. There's no doubt about that. And for those that are hoping for rain in the southwest, I don't know. Monday looks to be the day that you might get a little bit of moisture. Okay, Thursday morning, and where do we start? There's so many different things going on. It sounds like the boss and some of his cabinet are not on the same page with the federal government. Mark Carney has had some promising messaging around pipelines. Stephen Guilbeault, how predictable is this? We talked about this the other day when he was put in cabinet. This guy is an issue. This guy is predictable. He's climate crazed. Will he get reined in or not? We'll see. We'll talk about that coming up after 9 o'clock. Should the NDP be given official party status? Some people are saying yes, including many conservatives. They say that opens up the door to have the sway of voters back to the NDP, which of course most of them will come from the Liberals. We'll open up the phone lines. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that as well. We have talked a lot about the drug crisis over the last couple of weeks, and we brought in different guests. I've got another guest today, Sergeant Chris Harris from the front line of the Saskatoon Police Service, who works in downtown Saskatoon. He has got a lot of great perspective on what is going on and maybe what some potential solutions might look like. So we'll chat with him. Spring cleaning is here. People are big into it. You can see garage sales popping up everywhere. Part of cleaning is organizing. And I've got a local organization consultant and expert coming into the studio with some great tips and techniques to declutter your life. We'll take your questions on that as well. And as we finish the show today, I am so excited for this conversation. A Saskatchewan farmer has developed an app that gives farmers more control over their grain selling. It's called Commodity Vault. That's coming up at noon today. It's going to be a great conversation. All right, let's get at her. Here is today's Big Talker. Well, we have talked about energy in a variety of different ways over the last little while, and I would suggest that since the election, the Liberals are elected, Mark Carney keeps talking about energy superpower, which Pierre Poilievre was talking about as well before the election. So it's clearly a focus that we're hearing federally. But what does that mean? And there's so many different tentacles to energy, and one of them is Cameco. Cameco, a great corporation, world's largest publicly traded uranium company, and it's based right here in Saskatchewan. Love that. 2015, it was the world's second largest uranium producer, 18% of the world production, and I am so happy to have as a guest first thing this morning the CEO of Cameco, Mr. Tim Gitzel, joins us from his office in Saskatoon. Tim, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, good morning, Evan.
I was worried about getting you on the phone this morning after that tough Toronto Maple Leaf game last night.
Evan, I was telling someone that I wasn't around when the Titanic went down in 1912, but that's kind of what it felt like to me watching that show last night.
It was a tough one. I thought of you instantly because I know you are an absolute Leaf fan, but maybe that's the wake-up call they needed, Tim.
Why do we say that every year, Evan?
Well,
there's lots of wake-up calls.
We're deeper in the playoffs this time, so we'll see how it goes.
Tomorrow night.
Okay, so let's, first of all, how are things going at Cameco? I think you just had some quarter one results come out. Is that right?
Yeah, we did, Evan. Things are going very well for us. We had a very solid quarter. Our production is good. Our financials are strong. Our market is strong around the world. We're seeing really renewed interest in nuclear power around the world. And yeah, there's geopolitics everywhere, and there's tariffs in the spend a lot of time on those issues, but nuclear energy itself has made a great comeback. And, you know, Cameco now, with all of the different levers we have with Cameco on the fuel side and Westinghouse on the reactor side, we really cover the waterfront.
Yeah, and I heard an interview that you did, the tariffs aren't really having an impact on Cameco, are they?
No, they're not. We're exempt at the moment, and that's a lot of lobbying that went on down in Washington. I think I've been down there four times since the new year and heading back again next week. We stay down there and make sure that our story's being heard, but we're CUSMA compliant, that Canada-US-Mexico agreement. We're compliant with that, and if you are, then the tariffs don't apply, so I knock on wood here, but at the moment, they're not applying to us. And I mean, the other thing, Evan, is, you know, the U.S. has 94 nuclear reactors. They consume about 45 million pounds of uranium a year and produce none. Well, that doesn't work out. You have to import from somewhere, and it's either us or it's Kazakhstan, Russia, and Namibia. So, you know, hopefully we'll be okay.
So can I just pause there for a second, and maybe I'm going off script a little bit, but I know you're in Washington regularly. You're meeting with Trump's administration. You're meeting with decision makers down there. Do you get a sense in the back room when you're at a dinner table having just kind of a one-on-one chat that there's some frustration with some of the direction going, or is it a all hands on deck, all lined up right behind Trump on this tariff talk?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, there's one guy calling the shots at the moment, and we know who that is. And so, you know, most people fall in line right now. They get it. They understand whether it's uranium or potash. Same story on potash. Oil and gas, same thing, need that. But right now, you know, it's hard day to day to understand what's going on, what's driving things. And so we just keep pushing, and we hope over time that, you know, we'll get back to the table on the free trade agreement or the USMCA, CUSMA, whatever you call it, and just get really stabilized things. And I'm optimistic that'll happen, but it's been a wild first 3 or 4 months.
Tim Gitzel is my guest, CEO of Cameco. Okay, let's come back home to Canada. Recently, we learned 38 of Canada's energy CEOs signed a letter congratulating Mark Carney on his election and then pressing forward with some policy discussions. Were you involved in that letter, Tim?
So those 38 energy CEOs are all oil and gas.
Okay. Kevin,
I looked it up this morning. They're all oil and gas producers, and they have their position, and they put an open letter out. We take a bit of a different approach, maybe a little more discreet. We talk directly to the Prime Minister. I saw him last week and had a word with him, and we'll be interested now to meet some of these new members of Cabinet. Minister Tim Hodgson, who's the new Energy and Natural Resources Minister, don't know him really, but has a business background, which we think is good. Was on the board of directors of an oil and gas company in Calgary, which is good. So, you know, we take that approach. We know that the government overall is supportive of nuclear. We want to see it in more policies. And, you know, I saw the premier put out a note the other day. We're with him 100% on, you know, reducing the red tape bureaucracy regulations on moving new projects forward.
Right. That's actually maybe leads in nicely to my next question. What are some of the things we've heard many times, this push to make Canada an energy superpower? What are some of the things that you see Canada needs to do to propel us forward when it comes to energy production, exports, and trade?
Yeah, well, you know, we're all of the above. When you say, well, what energy should we use? And we say all of it. Like, let's all of it. And we'll use whatever we need here in Canada, and then what we don't, if we have an abundance of supply, let's export it around the world. We know the world wants our natural gas. We know the world wants our oil, our uranium. You know, let's keep what we need for us, and then let's generate that wealth from the excess supply that we have around the world and bring it back here then, Evan, and fix our health care and fix our education, our schools and our roads. Like, let's do that. So, you know, we're pro-development and pro-export, and let's use the natural resources that we're blessed with here in this country and in this province, and bring back resources and make life better for Canadian citizens.
Tim Gitzel from Cameco is my guest. What is the balance right now of uranium that you mine, the percentage that leaves the country and the percentage that stays?
Yeah, so we would export probably 85%. There's a couple utilities in Ontario, Ontario Power Generation, OPG, And Bruce Power, big customers of ours that we supply almost 100% of their needs. But then after that, it's all exported, Evan. U.S., Europe, Asia, all around the world. I think we're exporting to 28 different countries around the world.
So is there room? I'm thinking, I mean, nuclear energy is only going to grow in popularity. We know Saskatchewan has a blueprint to step in that direction. Is it that you will change that percentage, or will you increase production if that's possible?
Well, we could do both. You know, our contracts, we sign contracts with utilities. They're 5 to 10 years in duration. So it's not, you know, it's not a spot sale, or it's not a sale into a metals market or anything like that. So we have long-term relationships. I can tell you, we had a team over in China just a few days ago, and China approved another 10 new nuclear reactors this year. That's 4 years in a row they've approved 10 new ones. So, I mean, that's 40 reactors in 4 years. So you can see how they're going to gobble up a whole lot of the resources around the world. We like our customers in the U.S. and in Canada and in Europe, and we'd hope to stick with them. But there are options for us if we need to. And as the world calls for more uranium, we'll look at increasing our production starting here in Saskatchewan.
Tim Gitzel is my guest. You know, we've seen with things like canola, lots of value add industry additions in our province, things like crush plants and things. What is the value add in the uranium industry from the point that it's mined to when it's actually used to produce energy? Is there a value add process in there? What does it look like, and could it happen in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, so there are steps that we go through. So we mine, we're blessed in this province with the world's largest high-grade uranium mine. So we produce the uranium with our northern workforce. And then the next step is a refinery. And you're too young probably, but we could have had that refinery here in Warman about 30 or 40 years ago. And we decided we didn't want it. So it's in Blind River. We run that. We've got about 250 people running that. We'll never get it out of Blind River. They love it. And then it goes to Port Hope, Ontario for conversion. That's another step in the process. So we have about 35-40% of the world's conversion capacity, Cameco does, in Ontario. And then it goes for enrichment, fuel fabrication. So are there opportunities? Yeah, I would say there are. And we've talked with the provincial government, Premier Scott Moe, and, you know, as we, the plan is, still is, I believe, to build nuclear in the province, and so we would want to be involved in that, and, you know, as you start to build up a bit of a critical mass, you'd look at some of the fuel facilities to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Tim, before I let you go, I'm curious, as nuclear becomes more and more common as an energy source, not just in Canada, but throughout the world, we obviously have the benefit of having Cameco right here in Saskatchewan. Aside from jobs, what benefits does having Cameco in Saskatchewan bring to Saskatchewan as this part of the energy market continues to grow?
Well, I can tell you, it certainly puts Saskatoon and Saskatchewan on the map around the world. People know who we are and where we are. I'll tell you some stats I was just looking at the other day. So we have 7 senior executives here in Saskatchewan and Saskatoon. Everyone's a U of S grad. And so that tells you something. I think we have 350-some U of S grads working for us here that spend money in the city, in the province, and then we branch out around the world. These people are traveling from here to around the world, to many countries around the world, just representing the province. And so, you know, we at our mine sites, we have large mining operations. About 80% of our spend is with northern companies, indigenous owned. 51% of our workforce, indigenous. And then just the spin across the province, obviously we pay taxes in Saskatchewan and Canada. So it's a huge deal to have a major multinational corporation located in your city. And I can tell you, as long as I'm here, we'll be right here.
I love it. Yeah, it's great. Tim, listen, I appreciate you joining the show. I know you're so busy. In fact, the fact that we're catching you in your office in Saskatoon today is, I would say, more rare than anything. So thank you for giving us a few minutes, and we'll check in again soon.
Thanks, Evan, and thanks for everything you do for our city and our province. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Gitzel, who is the CEO of Cameco and the uranium industry, great in Saskatchewan, has been for quite some time, obviously, but the growth and the popularity of nuclear as a source of energy will continue to see success for this great Saskatchewan company. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.